ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በስራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes. Tonight's show is about feeling happy, feeling wonderful, and what goes into having an overall positive mindset. I just gave a talk on Sunday here in Mount Shasta about what a positive source is doing to offset every conspiracy theory. And one of the interesting qualities about life is it literally comes down to what we feel, sense, think, and envision. And so we are faced with. What are we feeling in a given moment as the life we are according to that? It's what are we feeling, thinking, and doing? And the nice thing is that an individual can have the experience of contentment and feel happy as a result of that. For me, the follow-up experience, the contentment was of knowing that I am complete in and of myself. And the feeling that comes with that is wonderful. I feel wonderful because of my completeness. I am happy because I am content. And the nice thing is that as I go through my life day by day, I get to feel whatever I want to. The interesting thing about existence according to creation is that because love is felt as an emotion, both positive and negative, because light is observed as color, specifically the seven colors of the rainbow, which is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, it gives us our entire sense of time and space. And it's always fascinating to me how people address the creation from a point of lack of awareness or lack of understanding, clarity of insight. And so a lot of ideas exist which may or may not have any relevance at all, and yet they have a way of keeping people steeped or tied to psychobabble BS or figments of the imagination, contrived fiction, and so on. One of the curious things about time and space, because of all the movements that are taking place at the same time, and when I say taking place, movements taking place, you have the Earth rotating on its axis. You have the Earth rotating around the Sun. You have the solar system as it orbits within the composition or constitution of the galaxy. The galaxy has an orbit. The galaxy also has it rotating on its axis, so to speak, and it also has its movement through the heavens. And it can be thought of as a spiral, spiraling on a spiral, spiraling on a spiral, spiraling on a spiral. You try to draw it. What that means is there was never a point in time in which the reality that exists within the composition of the universe is the same, because it's always a new time, new space. There is never a point in time in which the existence of something is in the same time and space, because of moving through time within space. Space can be thought of as that which allows a given thing to have a point of reference. And then the interesting thing about it is that from the perspective of self-awareness, an individual tries to organize and make sense of what's going on and why. And at times it's not very easy. It's often difficult for a person to feel positive when faced with aspects that are negative that tend to be daunting. It is curious how people choose to exist on the surface of this planet. I said the majority of people are what Buddha observed as struggling or suffering. And Buddha had the idea that he would like to end suffering as a process or a protocol, but that actually isn't a very good idea, because it facilitates growth on the part of the individual, because it's just as easy to live without suffering, without struggle, as it is to be immersed in it. The person can ask the question, why does it exist at all? And it's like anything. Everything is designed to resist a state of consciousness evolving beyond a given state condition. This includes evolving beyond the human ideal as a being on a planet somewhere in the universe. One of the more fascinating aspects of development within the context of the life an individual is living is that death only involves the body, and ascension only involves the body. Pretty cool. The measure of an individual as the life lived is whether or not the individual takes the body with them when they go. That's ascension, specifically. It means to rise above, to take with, and integrate into. One of the things that an individual can do is to feel happy, feel content, know, it's like be content, know completeness, so that happiness and feeling wonderful can be the state of affairs, the state of awareness, on a fairly consistent basis. It is a curious process when looking at what we are, what we're involved with, and how much goes ignored, rejected, denied, and so forth from the perspective of a given individual. It's kind of interesting because humanity is faced with third density on another planet. And it'll be interesting to see how many people exist on this planet after the earth changes have taken place, after the harvesting of souls, after the extinction of the invader culture mindset, which I think is probably within the next 3 to 5 years. So it will be curious to see what happens. I'm all eyes and ears, because I've read lots of things about what lies up ahead. And so it'll be curious to see what we are affected by in our life. Living is a cool thing. It's a daunting thing. It's a challenging thing. It is interesting that at one time human beingness lived to be 900 to 1,000 years old physically on the planet. And according to the raw material, it was the lifespan was shortened from 900 years to 700, and I guess it was 700 years to 350, all the way down to 35. One of the things that's nice that comes with the nature of the self, according to its design, is the ability to be peaceful. And that's one of the things that I feel all the time, is I'm at peace with myself. I was fortunate to read Alan Watts' The Wisdom of Insecurity, and I made the decision then to stop worrying, stop holding on to anxiety, stress, doubt, worry, confusion, and so on. And I read that book about 25 to 30 years ago. And it's just nice to feel what I feel as my life, because there's very, very little that affects me in an adverse way. And people are addicted. The three common denominators for the arbitrary mindset is addiction, dysfunction, and distraction. And it is curious that within the composition or constitution of our life, the average, atypical individual only feels pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide. And most people don't get past or beyond suicide. And death is a form of suicide. So the option that we have is that if we want to, if an individual wants to overcome the death experience, there's a couple of things. They have to be what is real. They have to know what is true. They have to share that with others as a form of surface polarization and then ascension as possible. One of the curious things about human beingness is only service polarity is harvested. Only service polarity is harvested, and there's two types of service. There's negative service polarity, where the emphasis is on the self to the exclusion, negation, aversion of God, life, and others. Or there is inclusion, affirmation of God, life, and involvement with the human ideal. When an individual is conscious of the nature of the self, that person has an obligation, opportunity, responsibility of sharing the level of consciousness with others. And we don't do a very good job. It is wise for people to study and understand what the fool is of the tarot deck, because if one does not know if they are serving self, serving others, or neither, it simply means that one has not evolved who they are beyond limits and limitations of any kind. I work at being conscious daily. I do a 2-hour meditation. I usually get up between 1 and 2:30 in the morning to start my meditation. I'm actually going to be adding a second meditation because I think I'm going to start meditating from 1:30 to 3. And then I'm going to get up and meditate from 6:30 to 7:30. And I think I'm going to incorporate a third meditation after I finish work. All within the context of God consciousness, enlightenment, miracle mindedness, universal conscious awareness. All within the context of joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony. All within the context of presence, isness, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, Godhood. All within the context of oneness, healing, wholeness, ascension. Of the oneness of God, the healing of life, the wholeness of the Christ, and the ascension of that which serves, all within the context of oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, unity, union, connected, integration, reintegration. And it goes on. When we look at the nature of the self, it can be thought of in a number of ways. And the hope is, as we're going through life, we can get to a point to where things work for us, and they work well within the context of the process. I know that some people feel alive. The more struggle, the more alive that they feel, which is kind of curious because I like the idea of effort, effective efficiency with the least amount of effort. I don't like things to be real complicated. I don't like things to be real difficult. One of the things that's curious about the invader culture mindset on this planet is it loves confrontation, it loves complexity, it loves chaos. Death, disaster, and destruction are the elements of the invader culture mindset through the protocols of war, greed, and class distinction. And the hope is that we come to a point in the context of our lives to where we move or evolve, or away from the idea of hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, under the blanket guise of conquering, enslaving, and destroying. It is curious how people are willing to hold on to something to the grave. That's one of the things that my mother is doing. She's been a devout Christian Zionist for longer than I've been alive. She's been a devout Christian Zionist for 65 years, and everything comes down. That's the response that she gives to everything. There's a Christian Zionist response that she has for everything. May her great creator this, may her great creator that. But the thing is that It's not about tying ourselves to the ideas of others. It's whether or not we can feel something real, think something true, share them in ways that are kind of conducive. It is interesting how people only do what they're told. And that's almost everybody on the planet only does what they're told. If they're not told to do this or do that, they're not going to do it. And there aren't very many people who are spontaneous and adventurous in the process. It is a curiosity that we humans on this planet hold so strongly to things without realizing that more often than not, the information is a form of propaganda. The information is a contrived fiction. It's almost like we are being shown that we can be easily fooled, we can be easily duped. And the thing that I find is that if an individual body's die, it means they're holding on to fear, because love has a realness when it's lived humanly is impossible to cease to exist because it is eternal. Light is complete. The nature of consciousness is the soul. Is soul is total, and the mind of God on a personal level and within the context of God itself is infinite. The ideal that I live as a representation is infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is, now, here, being, knowing, sharing, ascending. One of the techniques that I have developed that I have found very, very useful is, can I move from a state or point of reference in 5 minutes or less? And I'm successful with that about 95% of the time. There are times where I like to work with things, and so I hold on to it for longer. One of the nice things about existence is that everything has the ability to give a person clarity of insight into the purpose that it serves. We live our life as we do, and there's always more to take into consideration than what, as a rule, is what is allowed for. And part of our experience is, can we simply enjoy our life without too much confusion? Can we enjoy who we are without being pretentious? Can we mitigate fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, lack, need, want, wound, ignorance, difference, and intolerance? My primary focus within the context or composition of my life is to be comprehensive on the one hand, connected, on another hand, to be consciously aware, to contribute to the health and welfare of others. And it's fascinating to me that the majority of people on the surface of this planet are oblivious to what's going on and why. They're not paying attention to the agendas others have. They're not. And because they're not paying attention to where people are at within the context of their own life, very little changes. And we're all a work in progress. And fortunately, there is information on the planet that can assist us in evolving beyond limitations of any kind. Part of the work that I do is evolving beyond, or consciously being aware of, that beyond the limits and bounds of third density into all of fourth, all of fifth, all the way up to the third octave of sixth density, but not beyond, because within the context of the creation at the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification of love, light, light, love. And it's curious to me how that process takes place. I kind of have an idea, but I'm not real sure. When we're looking at who we are, how well does life work for us? How happy are we? But the Dalai Lama made the comment that my religion is happiness. And I'm fortunate that when I had the experience of contentment, I feel happy because of that. My happiness is not contingent upon externals. then that's part of where we get bogged down or led astray. And the reason why is that people basically rely on an externalized ego that only pays attention to externals without realizing or recognizing that the existence is not external. It is internal. The existence of God is internal. The existence of the universe is internal. The only reason why we see an objective, projected objectification is because that is what God did. God projected into objectification the universe. The mind accomplished that. The mind projects into objectification of the body. The spirit brings this to life, and the soul becomes conscious of itself as that. One of the nice things is that we can go through life and we can feel happy and we can feel wonderful about who we are. And we don't have to be too concerned about the lives of others. And for me, I find it useful. How peaceful do I feel as my life? How harmonious is my life? What am I allowing to take place within the context of my life and the life of others? And then it goes from there. It is curiosity, when you think about it, that people are so bogged down with things that they aren't conscious aware. I work on 4 states of awareness as a state of being, God consciousness, according to what Zoroaster teach, enlightenment, according to Buddhist achievement, miracle-mindedness, according to what Jesus accomplished, and then universal conscious awareness. And so part of the work that I do is allowing myself to be that as a human representation so that I can stand kind of like a lighthouse as a beacon of hope to others. And there will come a point in time in which I will teach people how to accomplish that. In the meantime, life goes on. And it will be curious to see what the timeline is for this, because we're according to Mary Summerrain in the 80s, it's too late because people are lazy. No Eyes was of the opinion that it was too late for people because people are lazy and they're not doing what is needed so that the life as who they are works and works well. So it becomes curious. And the reason why it becomes curious is because people are, for lack of a better term, hell-bent on dying and going to heaven. And it is interesting. I've used that word a lot. I was trying to think of another word that I could use. Fascinating comes to mind, and that curious comes to mind. Oh, well, it is fascinating how people would rather be right to the death than to think that there might be a better way of feeling, sensing, thinking, and envisioning. One of the things that's useful is it's useful to meditate. And meditate simply allows for the beingness of within the context of a person's life. God is, I am, all that is. Of being, knowing, sharing, ascending. I find it very useful to meditate. I find it very useful to have written and read material that includes for me books. It's also useful to have vision boards so that you actually have a visual of what can take place as one's life through doing personal work. In one context, there's the personal, relational, social, global, and universal. They all take place at the same time. And most people simply settle for the ego and the body that dies. And people don't venture beyond that. One of the things that I do is I smile a lot because I feel happy and I feel wonderful. And it is great that there is a difference between happiness and feeling wonderful. There are two distinct feelings. The nice thing about life is that that we are given the opportunity of feeling whatever we want to. And the hope is that within the development of an individual's life, that the individual develops within the context of making a contribution to others in some meaningful or useful way. A lot of times the idea just isn't there. I said, when you look at what people spend their time doing, making money, more so than anything else. Making money is the single most important predominant. It is the leading predominant on the planet. People are simply earning a wage, so to speak, making money, and leaving it at that without trying to do conscious out-of-body experiences, working at mindful purposefulness and other states of awareness, which is interesting to me because all we're doing is developing beyond where we're at, and that goes for everything. Ultimately, what an individual evolves beyond is the sense or idea or ideal of being a human being according to a body. That's part of the work. And it takes continuous effort to accomplish a state of awareness that is functional and worthwhile. One of the things that I notice, which is why I do this Blog Talk Radio show, even though people don't come into the chat room, it's my contribution. And I'm not interested in money. I'm not interested in fame and fortune as a result of that. If I'm going to make money, I will develop a trade because I believe that there is such a thing as spiritual prostitution, where if an individual shares a gift of the spirit and they are charging money, it puts them in the realm of just being a prostitute for the sake of money or fame or both. And people make mistakes with that. According to the Seth material, gifts of the spirit are meant to be freely given. And the fact that they're not, the individual accrues karma. I'm always fascinated when people like Wayne Dyer, who has transitioned, did he like his whole life review? And what I'm told is no, he did not, because he didn't realize that it was more about him and his ego and his PhD than anything else. He wanted to be a millionaire. He wanted to be world famous more so than anything else, which brings about an ineffectiveness within the context of assisting others. One of the curious things, a friend of mine was telling me about a new book that Doreen Virtue put out, and it was primarily regurgitated information. The book was only done to generate funds for her and for the publishing company, and that was it. There was very little new information. And that's, you know, we make mistakes without realizing there's a reason why there's such a thing as the law of confusion. There's a reason why there's a law of the veil of forgetfulness, the veil of confusion, and there's a reason why there's a veil of access to pardon. And the hope is that we can come to a point in our life and times in which we have our acts together so that we don't make a mistake that ends up being more karma than anything else. One of the more useful ideas, and I've mentioned this in shows in the past, is, this is a quote, "It is in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human." And one of the things that I find is, what am I doing within the context of my life so that I feel happy? I actually gratefully appreciate being happy, feeling wonderful, that I share with others. And I have a lot of affirmations that I declare or state. I gratefully appreciate that my life is guided, provided, directed, protected as one. I gratefully appreciate meeting, making contact with that UFO that is here for me. I gratefully appreciate being taken aboard, taken to a safe place or someplace at the appropriate time. I gratefully appreciate joy as my heart, love as my body, light as my hand, surrounded by consciousness. I gratefully appreciate a book deal. I gratefully appreciate a movie contract. I gratefully appreciate, and it just goes from there. I said, one of the things that it talks about in conversations with God is, this is our make-believe. We are making this up as we go. And everybody is doing that. Everybody is doing the same thing. We are simply making it up as we go. So we have a sense of making sense out of who we are within the process. And what do we do when the outer environment presents us with something that we disapprove of or that we feel threatened by and so on? And one of the things that I have found that we have to do is we have to make our peace with the protocols of negativity. We have to make our peace with those people who do things that we disapprove of, because here's the simple fact, no two people are the same. So how people conduct their affairs on the surface of this planet is going to differ from person to person to person to person. The other thing that's going to come up, the more conscious an individual gets, the more divergence there's going to be between the individual and the consciousness of others, as it's personified, as it's lived, as it's performed, as it's shared with others. And it's cool that it's that way. I happen to like the fact that I am unique on the surface of this planet. One of my favorite words besides interesting is comprehensiveness. I was actually told by Kathy Bradshaw that the importance of my life as a human being on this planet is I bring comprehensiveness to the table. And I have been working on being comprehensive for about 37 years, I guess. That's interesting. Pretty cool. And the hope is that we come to a point in our personal, relational, social, global, and universal evolution in which people are on the same page because of love, because of light, because of acceptance, because of even-mindedness, because of understanding, because of wisdom, because of the human factor, the human element. One of the things that I also do is I gratefully appreciate the return of Yahweh and Id as the creator and that which brought us to life to this planet. That's one of the things that I daily ask Yahweh and Id to return to this planet so that we humans can actually meet face to face that which created us and brought us to life. One of the curiosities that we have within the context of our human beingness is, well, what does it take and how much work does an individual have to do so that there is truly joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony, in which there is truly happiness, feeling wonderful, where there's truly a sense of wholesomeness and well-being as the life in which there isn't some kind of physical, mental, spiritual pain? And what does it take from the perspective of our life to be happy without any criteria at all, where there isn't a paycheck that makes a person happy, or a building that makes a person happy, or a possession that makes a person happy, or a body shape or style that makes the person happy? I'm happy because of this, I'm happy because of that. God is I am all it is, happy, feeling wonderful that I share with others. That's another one that I state. I gratefully appreciate that God is I am all it is, happy, feeling wonderful as my life, as me, that I share with others. so that I live happily ever after in Never Never Land eating bonbons after I pop lots of popcorn watching Days of Our Lives so that the soap bubbles emanate out of the TV screen because I love bubbles. And what's that song? Something bubbles. Shiny bubbles. Tiny bubbles. Oh well, tiny bubbles, it's time for a glass of champagne. Oh, that's good. You know, one of the things that people like about me is I have a good sense of humor, and I always can make them laugh. And it's all day and all night. I had a landlord once make a comment to me. I had a landlord make a comment to me, and the landlord made the comment. He said, "I forget how delightful you are at times." And I've been told that I can be the life of the party if I so choose to. I can be very entertaining. But one of the things that is happening with me is I'm taking myself less seriously. I'm more interested in having a good time. And it makes it cool, makes it pretty nice. Not as nice as Ince, who's listening to the show. She's a buddy of mine. And we have our ups and downs and our ins and outs and our rounds and arounds and that kind of stuff. Every once in a while I upset her. Most of the time I make her laugh, and sometimes I make her think. And sometimes I point out things that kind of embarrass her. And it is interesting what she does to annoy me to no end, which is curious and all that good stuff. And one of the things that's nice is that within the life that we are, we have the opportunity of feeling good. And that's one thing that I like about my life is I like feeling good. I like ease. Excuse me while I yawn because I'm relaxed, taking it easy. Not sweating the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. And so one of the things that's nice is that everybody's entitled to the life that they are, whatever that is. Everybody's entitled to every aspect of his or her experience. And it's pretty cool. You know, when we have our challenges and we have our opportunities, if everything is designed for growth. According to the raw material, their development was awareness, growth, self-awareness, love that understands, light or wisdom. And then the unity of light, love, love, light, and then gateway, which I'm not really clear on what that means. And then they mentioned it, volume one of the raw material, the eighth cycle they do not plumb, and I believe it's reintegration of consciousness back into the original state and condition of God. It is very curious that people have this idea of worshiping a god of some kind. Why would a god want that or need that? It's not about the worshiping of something. It's about whether or not we can be the same level of existence. One of the things that I work on is being Zoroaster Buddha and Jesus as my life is Douglas Harold Malloy. And I've been working on this for 50 years. And I feel like I am very close to these states of consciousness. I was told by my psychic friend Marge that by the time I'm 60, which I'll be 60 this year, my life will be ambrosia. And I finally asked Kathy what Marge meant by that, and ambrosia is nectar of the gods. So I'm ready for a little nectar. And I hope it tastes good. And I hope I don't get too drunk or too stoned as this ambrosia, nectar of the gods. Yeah, it's funny how, you know, I get real, real soft because the more laid back I feel, the softer my voice gets. And I probably should speak up so that it can be heard in a relevant way or meaningful way. It is nice when you stop and think about it. It is nice for the entire experience that we have, positive and negative, is just, to me, absolutely wonderful. I work on, one of the curious things that I work on is, when faced with something negative, can I hold to the positive? When I meet negative people, I hold to the positive. One of the things that the RAW recommends is that when somebody is, well, it says this, every thought has an antithesis. One of the things that the RAW recommends is that, one of the things that the RAW recommends is that when somebody is presenting something like jealousy, present the opposite as what you're holding to. It also makes the recommendation when there's patience, hold to impatience. When there's impatience, hold to patience as the point of reference or the point of view. So what I'm going to do is, because I think it'll be useful, I'm going to read what I used to read. I read this every day for a year. The question is, we have decided to accept, if offered, the honor duty of learn teaching the healing process. I would ask as to the first step which we should accomplish in becoming effective healers. Raw, I am Raw. This is page 87 of volume 1 of the Raw Material, / Law of 1. We shall begin with the first of the three teaching learnings. We begin with the mental learned teaching necessary for contact with intelligent infinity. The prerequisite of mental work is the ability to retain silence of self at a stated state when required by the self. The mind must be open like a door. The key is silence. Within the door lies an hierarchical construction, you may liken unto geography and in some ways geometry, for the hierarchy is quite regular bearing in the relationships. To begin to master the concept of mental discipline, it is necessary to examine the self. The polarity of your dimension must be internalized. Where you find patience within your mind, you must consciously find the corresponding impatience and vice versa. Each thought a being has in its turn an antithesis. The disciplines of the mind involve, first of all, identifying both those things of which you approve and those things of which you disapprove within yourself, and then balancing each and every positive and negative charge with its equal. The mind contains all things, therefore you must discover this completeness within yourself. The second mental discipline is acceptance of the completeness within your consciousness. It is not for a being of polarity in the physical consciousness to pick and choose among attributes, thus building the roles that cause blockages and confusions in the already distorted mind complex. Each acceptance smooths part of the many distortions that the faculty you call judgment engenders. The third discipline of the mind is a repetition of the first, but with the gaze outward toward the fellow entities that it meets. In each entity there exists completeness, thus the ability to understand each balance is necessary. When you view patience, you are responsible for mirroring in your mental understandings patience, impatience. When you view impatience, it is necessary for your mental configuration of understanding to be impatience, patience. We use this as a simple example. Most configurations of mind have many facets. An understanding of either self-polarities or what you would call other self-polarities can and must be understood as subtle work. The next step is the acceptance of the other self-polarities, which mirrors the second step. These are the first four steps of learning mental disciplines. The fifth step involves observing the geographical and geometrical relations and ratios of the mind, the other mind, the mass mind, and the infinite mind. The second area of learned teaching is the study understanding of the body complexes. It is necessary to know your body well. This is a matter of using the mind to examine how the feelings, the biases, what you call the emotions of various portions of the body complex. It shall be necessary to both understand the body bodily polarity and accept them, repeating in a chemical physical manifestation the work you have done upon the mind, bethinking the consciousness. The body is a creature of the mind's creation. It has its biases. The biological bias must be first completely understood and then the opposite bias allowed to find full expression and understanding. Again, the process of acceptance of the body as a balanced as well as polarized individual may then be accomplished. It is then the task to extend this understanding to the bodies of other selves whom you will meet. The simple example of this is the understanding that each biological male is female, each biological female is male. This is a simple example. However, in almost every case wherein you are attempting the understanding of the body of self or other self, you will again find that the most subtle discernment is necessary in order to fully grasp the polarity complexes involved. We proceed now with the third part of the learned teaching concerning the development of energy powers of healing. The third area is the spiritual complex, which embodies the field of force and consciousness, which are the least distorted of the mind-body-spirit complex. The exploration and balancing of the spirit complex is indeed the longest and most subtle part of your learned teaching. We have considered the mind as a tree. The mind controls the body. With the mind single-pointed, balanced, and aware, the body comfortable, and whatever biases and distortions make it appropriately balanced for that instrument, the instrument is then ready to proceed with the greater work. That is the work of wind and fire. The spiritual body energy field is a pathway or channel. When body and mind are receptive and open, then the spirit can become a functioning shuttle, a communicator from the entity's individual energy wheels upward from the streamings of the creative fire and wind downwards. The healing ability, like other, what this instrument would call paranormal abilities, is affected by the opening of a pathway or shuttle into intelligent infinity. There are many upon your plane who have a random polar gateway in their spirit energy field, sometimes created by the ingestion of chemicals, such as what this instrument would call LSD, who are able randomly and without control to tap into energy sources. They may or may not be entities who wish to serve. The purpose of carefully and consciously opening this channel is to serve in a more dependable way, in a more common or usual way, as seen by the distortion complex of the healer. To others, this may appear to be miracles. To the one who has carefully opened the door to intelligent infinity, this is ordinary, this is commonplace, this is as it should be. The life experience becomes somewhat transformed. The great work goes on. That's page 87, 88, 89, and 90 of volume 1 of the raw material. And it's something that I read every day for about a year. And then I decided to stop because now my focus is different. I now have my own declarations of intention that I work with. And I simply am bound and determined that I'm going to accomplish this within the context of my life for the sake of others, God, universe, and so on. It is interesting to me that when we look at where people are at, as a rule, they don't know where to begin. They don't know what to do. Or they do something rather foolish, which is to rely on others to always dictate or stipulate what should or shouldn't be done. I tend to be cautious when I am assisting others in the work is not to be too dogmatic and not to be too insistent that it has to be my way. And that's something that, well, another thing that fascinates me is people who have pictures of gurus or pictures of people that they worship, like Jesus or Buddha, Zoroaster, and so on. Because the interesting thing is when the body ceases to exist, the individual ceases to exist as an embodied spirituality. The existence is then the soul, and the soul is universal, which means that an individual no longer exists as the state that they were represented as a human being. This is why when people reincarnate, they never reincarnate as the same state. They never reincarnate as the same representation. So it becomes curious because it's curious to me how many people of the past have returned and how are they living their life now in contradistinction to the life that they lived then, let's say Edgar Cayce or Paramahansa Yogananda or Sai Baba and so on. One of the curious things about death of the body necessitates reincarnation of the soul. And every single individual on the surface of this planet who has left the body behind has to reincarnate. That's how the process works. Don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself and all that thing. Another thing within the context of our life is what makes us happy. What makes us happy? Does drinking a glass of wine give us a sense of being blessed? Does it give us a sense of happiness? Does it make us feel wonderful? one of the nice things is that I'm not interested in superficial people at all. I'm only interested in people that are consciously aware. I'm only interested in people that are interested in collective ascension and personal ascension, and that's it. Because everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, is wasting their time as a human being on the planet. If you're not aspiring to evolve beyond the human condition, you are wasting your time, as a rule. And I like the fact that my voice is very scary to most people because they are so fearful that they can't get away from me fast enough, and I like being left alone. And I try to scare people off. I have done my best to try to scare Ince away, and she refuses to leave, and I'm at a loss. I've been asking God for about a year, what can I do to chase her away? And she refuses to run away. She keeps laughing and loving me and liking me and all that kind of good stuff, and I guess that's just how it is. And we're friends, so I say that. I say it in jest, and I know she's laughing right now at my silliness. The nice thing about being happy and feeling wonderful is that there is an appreciation that comes with that, with people, places, and things. One of the things that I like is something being awesome or awe-inspiring. I like it when I meet somebody who is interesting. I like it when I see something that is so stunning it takes my breath away and it becomes useful. And the nice thing is that there are lots of things that are involved in the process that allows us to feel good about who we are. When looking at happiness or the ability to feel happy, it's useful to work within the context of the process so the process can work for others. And the nice thing is we have an opportunity to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break. This is the halfway point. I might not do this show for the entire 2 hours. I thought that I only plugged in for an hour, and then I saw that I decided to do a 2-hour show. And so I'm going to take a little break, and we'll come back in about 4 minutes and 15 seconds. Yeah!
I really love you, but I love that first. I hope when you
Well, I'm back, and I'm feeling pretty good. It's always a nice thing to have things worked out so that there isn't concern about things. That's one of the real usefulnesses of Alan Watts, The Wisdom of Insecurity, is that he really understood that anxiety was completely unnecessary, stress completely unnecessary, and almost always the reason why a person is stressed about something is fear always perceives something as a threat to itself. And it's curious how it works that way. Love, on the other hand, which is really cool, always looks for an opportunity to share itself as it is with versions of itself. And what that means is people, places, and things. Everything is an aspect of love. The only way that something can exist as it does is the will of light and consciousness has to be applied so that the ideal can exist as it does. One of the nice things about love is that it understands what's going on and it's accepting of things as they are. Like, on the other hand, is even-minded and understanding of. So it becomes a curious process within the context of our life as far as who we are and what we are. And so what we find is that what are the things that make us happy enough so that what we have is, so that what we have is within the context of our life, what we have is we have the life that we're living. And we're living it in a way so that within the context of our life that we can feel ways that have the ability to enhance the lives of others to who we are. And this is really the only thing that we're doing, is that we are enhancing the life of others through who we are. And it is an interesting process, because people are basically unprepared for that. I said there is a certain degree of entrenchment on the surface of this planet where people suffer. And the reason why people suffer is because they haven't learned how to let go of what suffering is. And Buddha was misguided in one context, is it's not about ending suffering. It's about making use of suffering so that self-empowerment and the flip side of suffering can be a way of life. That's the reason why. What people don't realize is that individuality is to the negative what connected integration is to the positive. So what an individual is actually doing is they are resolving a sense of, they are resolving the sense of negativity so that within the context of their life, the positive can be something that's held on to, that's useful from the perspective of the individual. And the curiosity is that the invader culture mindset is going to become extinct. And with the extinction of the invader culture mindset, only those individuals who are coming from a positive place are going to be those to begin the process of a collective ascension on this planet. Begin the process. So the question is, who are going to be that group of roughly 2 million people that begins the process of aspiring to collective ascension? And I am of the opinion that that's only going to happen through the sound of my voice, because I am the individual that brings the unification teaching to this planet. just as Zoroaster brought God consciousness as a teacher to this planet, Buddha brought enlightenment to this planet, Jesus brought miracle-mindedness to this planet, so on and so forth. And so the nice thing is that there's going to come a point in time in which the only thing that you're going to have is positive service polarity as the discipline and development within the life of those people who are here. And it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens with the earth changes and that kind of stuff, because according to one source, I think it was Rampus Jehovah tape, that there's going to be a battle of light between Jehovah and Id. It's going to last 7 days. Those who move into fear are taken by Jehovah. Those who move into love are those that evolve the species until it collectively ascends. And it's possible that what's going to take place is that people are simply going to repeat their density on another planet. We'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, one of the fun things to do is to find those things that are an enjoyment, where it doesn't cause a sense of stress. The other is working within the context of bonding, nurturance, encouragement, development, discipline, leadership, and self-mastery, so that by the time a person's 42 to 49, there's a self-mastery phase of a person's life. Does a person have their stuff together? And how well does a person's life work as who they are? One of the things that I like is I play live music, and I'm fairly accomplished at it, and I like it because I feel joy and love when I play, and people can feel it. And it's always nice that I get positive feedback from sharing my musical talents with others. And I also write, and that has a way of inspiring others. And it just kind of goes from there. One approach that I find useful when it comes to the life that we're living is, can a person resolve their issues that act as catalysts to only develop their talents and work with conscious awareness as a contribution? And there are many upon this planet who I think have a misguided approach. They don't know the fool well enough, and so they don't know if they're really serving themselves or serving others. And you can't do both. You do one or the other. And I have a feeling that people, when they get involved in their whole life review, find that there was more silliness than anything else within the context of the person's life. And we don't know any better, so we have no way of knowing. But one thing that people don't realize is they don't know that there's such a thing as the whole life review, which, and according to Daniel Brinkley and Elizabeth Perp, every single person that transitions has to look at the effects of every negative emotion, every negative thought, every negative behavior and application, and the effect that it had on people, places, and things. And then a person has to atone for all of the negativity that outweighs the positive, usually 1,000 to 1. Because we just have this tendency, or we have this tendency toward being negative rather than being positive as our life. The good news is that nothing is inappropriate given one's measure of the world. That comes from conversations with God. Another body of knowledge that I find useful to work with is A Course in Miracles. I've been working with A Course in Miracles ever since 1980, which makes it pretty fun. I spent 3 years reacquainting myself with the body of knowledge. I decided to do the text, the workbook for students. And it took me a year and a half to do all 365 lessons. And then I did for 6 months. I did one lesson a month for 6 months, and then for an entire year, all of 2015, I did lesson 273, The Stillness of the Peace of God is Mine, and I added a whole bunch of stuff to it, so I made it my own. The Stillness of the Joy, Peace, Freedom, Revelation, Joy, Love, Compassion, Harmony of God, Life, Progress, Serving Others, Oneness that Heals, Wholeness, Ascension, a mind to feel, sense, think, and vision to speak, to actualize, demonstrate, contribute to humanity in our service of the planet, secondary planet, according to the will of light and consciousness, and it just went from there. And it got to work, and instead of it being something that took about 30 seconds to read, it took about 5 minutes with all the added stuff. And that's, you know, the one thing that we all have an opportunity to do is to add our own nuance to the flavoring of the process, which is pretty cool, which makes it pretty nice. Not as nice as it is, of course, but it makes it pretty nice. The other thing is that one of the nice things about happiness and feeling wonderful is you have to be a human being to feel that. And here's the daunting thing is most people do not live humanly, and so they don't feel happiness, they don't feel wonderful. They don't feel joyful, they don't feel loving, because human beingness is the will of God, the love of Yahweh, the light of it, and the consciousness of all that is within the composition of mind, body, spirit, soul, as the individual. I'm fortunate that things have presented themselves to me that I have been able to personify and touch upon in a personal way. Stillness, peace, harmony come to mind. And there are other things that come to mind as well. And one of the things is how upset do we get with things? How angry do we get with things? Because that's something that we have a chance to overcome. That was the one thing that I get a kick out of with Ince, is she does her best to try to flip me out, try to piss me off, try to get me to yell at her. She wants me, for some reason, to yell at her. And I refuse to do it, so she keeps applying herself and trying to upset me, and I won't do it. She flooded my toilet. She broke my stuff. Kind of funny when you think about it, just a troublemaker. It's the troublemaker. All I'm doing is making her laugh, and that brings up a sense of joyfulness in her life and my life. Because that's one of the things that I like about having a sense of humor is that I like to laugh, and I like to laugh with people. And sometimes I say stuff that just makes me laugh heartily, and it's very nice, very cool. Not as cool as the one person listening to the show, which is kind of interesting. And if there's more than one, I'll have to see what I need to change so that stops it, and that kind of thing. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing, and the nice thing is life goes on, and it's just, you know, every moment of every day is a pretty cool thing, and that's one of the things that I like. Is one of the things that I've developed is not having an attitude about people, places, and things. I just don't have an attitude about people, places, and things anymore. It's the adage that I hold to is whatever is fine. And everybody's absolutely entitled to the life across the board. Everyone. One thing I will do at this time is that if people who are listening to the show, evidently Kathy is back in the hospital because of chest pains. And this has been a very, 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 very drawn out process. It's going on, I think, now 2 months. And so evidently she's struggling within the context of the medical profession and her body and the stuff that they have done. It hasn't worked out very well. And so she's basically been struggling every day with a medical condition and stuff that they have done, and it hasn't worked very well. So we need to send her love. We need to send her light. She needs to be in our prayers. And my heart goes out to her because Kathy is my friend. She's my buddy. I like to talk to her on the phone and make her laugh. And I always like it when she says, my source wants to tell you this, and my source wants to tell you that, and I play the numbers game, bet on it, see if I can win. Because, you know, after all, it is all about winning. What else is there except winning at the expense of someone else or something else? Wrong. I have the license plate. Well, I used to. I have a different vehicle now. I used to have the license plate URMSTKN. As soon as I have enough money, I'm going to reinvest in that. Maybe I'll reinvest it when I have to renew the registration on my car in May. Anyway, one of the reasons why there are positives and negatives is so people can try them on like clothing and see how they like them. Some people like pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide. Some people like joy, peace, freedom, adventure, happiness, kindness, contribution, and ascension. There are those that aspire to both. And then there are those that aspire to neither. And they just go about their business. They're involved with their husband or wife. They're involved with their children. They're involved with their job. They're involved with sports or something like that. And then it just goes from there. And the simple rule is life goes on. And hopefully it goes on with all of us, for some of us anyway. So it makes it a curiosity. Sort of. And then it just goes from there. One of the things that is useful is, and I recommend, this is something I'm going to suggest. Something I'm going to suggest to everybody is get involved with Margaret Paul and her hypnotic stuff, because it's the best thing out there for helping a person feel something real, think something true, well enough to share with others. I was fortunate that I did a 5-day intensive with Margaret Paul, and it was probably the single most important thing that I've ever done. And I was told by Marge Zachary that if I completed it, it would be like the Big Bang for me, and I know exactly why. Because the work that I'm doing now is facilitated through that technique, through that process. And so familiarize yourself. She has a book, Inner Bonding. Erica Chopik and Margaret Paul wrote a book, Healing Your Aloneness, which is also useful. And I recommend everybody to read those materials. One of the things about our life is simply the human beingness of God, the human beingness of life, the human beingness of an ideal that we represent, and which is the Christ. And what we can do within the context of our life is lend ourselves to others in the process, lend ourselves to some things like God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, Yid, mom and dad, as the life that we're living, that we can contribute to the health and welfare of others in a harmonious way, in a peaceful way, in a kind way, in a happy way, in a feeling wonderful. God is I am all that is. Being happiness, feeling wonderful, that I can share, that I can share with others. What is nice is that people. One of the nice things is that people can feel where I'm at, and they like that about me. I'm very, very peaceful, and the older I get, the more peaceful I am. I have a very stillness, peace, and harmony is to my heart, body, and head. Stillness is to my heart, peace is to my body, harmony is to my head, and that is my way of life. And so I am at peace with everyone. I am in harmony with everyone and everything. And it's a beautiful groove kind of thing. And it's a wonderful thing, beautiful thing. It's a useful thing. All that good stuff. So what we find in the process is that we have an opportunity of doing things that lend themselves to others. The other thing is, too, is what does an individual have within the context of the life that they are as a relationship between male and female? And is there points of contention in the relationship, or is it simply harmonious involvement of sharing in which there is not any hostility or competition, or shame, or woundedness, and so on? Because it's not easy for people to overcome lack, need, want, wound, fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, ignorance, indifference, intolerance. And then there's lots of others. Jealousy tends to be daunting, envy tends to be daunting, and so on. Pain tends to be daunting, and so on. addressing the nature of the self within the context of the body is a curious thing, because everything seems, the body seems to be the point of the hub of the representation that an individual involves with and engages. And people are very successful at times of finding a companion where there isn't a point of contention in the context of the involvement, which almost always stems from a fear of arrogance and denial. They are like the main four that people have to overcome. Self-denial is very daunting. More often than not, a person will tie himself or herself to a systems theory because it reinforces fear, growth, arrogance, denial specifically. I'm of the opinion that the reason why my mother is a Christian Scientist is because of her unresolved fear, guilt, arrogance, and denial, specifically denial. That was the one thing that I noticed about Mayor Baker Eddy, is that she was denying of her physicalness as an embodiment, so there was no option. The very thing that she worked against, which was doctors, medicine, and so on, was the very thing that she was involved with at the last stage. She was on morphine, and she ended up leaving her body behind, which means that according to her teaching, she didn't accomplish what she taught, because one of the things that she wrote about was there is no sin, sickness, disease, or death. And there's a truth to that. And she didn't overcome death. And most people don't. When I tell people that ascension only involves the body, I'm going to take my body with me when they go, they scratch, why in the world would you want to do something like that? Because that's the only thing that takes place. I'm only interested in two things, living to be as long as we were created to live humanly, which is according to the Bible and according to the raw material, is 900 years. I'm interested in living at 900 years, and I'm interested in taking my body with me. And I happen to like being who I am, and I like the fact that I do exactly what I do, when I do, as I do, within the context of my life and times. And I live a fairly diversified life. I have all kinds of interests and things that I like and that kind of thing, food being one of them. I like food. I like enjoy, I like wine. I like other things also. And one of the things that's nice is that my life is moving in the direction that I want according to who I am, as what I'm involved with, and it's pretty cool. It's a groove kind of thing, if you know what I mean. Anyway, this show is Welcome to My Point of View. I used to do a show called Reality is Self-Defined. And I'm actually entertaining the idea that I might start doing a two-hour show where the first part of the show is paranormal and the second part of the show is spiritual discipline and development. I'm thinking about that because I liked it when I was the host of Paranormal 101. Even though Steve or Ryan and I had a falling out, I don't think Paranormal 101 is done anymore within the context of Blog Talk Radio. That's one of the things that I miss, is that there were lots of people that I knew, and now they're coming on. They have faded away, faded into the psychology of their own point of reference. Anyway, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to end this show now, and I'm going to end it with this is Jar Jar Living, and I played this song with Aikula back in August of 2012. Thank you all for listening, and we will do it again sometime in the future.
down my